What are we in for today? I don't know if you know the name Chris Venance. He preached here a little while ago. He's the man who planted Glenridge Church in Durban, which in turn planted 3CR 25 plus years ago. And he preached a while back on Revelation chapter 2. It's the part of Revelation where Jesus is writing to his bride, and he says in there, you know, he says, "You've done this well, you've done this well, you've done this well. But one thing that I want to address is that you've lost your first love." And Chris spoke about how it's not that we need to go back to that, you know, warm and fuzzy, googly bear first love of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because the next verse says, "Return to those things you did at first." And it came as a word that is very much a plumb line, a calling to us as a community to hold to that very thing that God established this lampstand in the city for. And the primary reason why 3CR exists is to be a base church and to resource and plant churches. And so this morning, we don't have a pulpit, but you are going to hear the loudest sermon you've ever heard in your whole entire life, because we want you to be captivated by the culture of 3CR, the very reason why God planted this lampstand in the city, and that is to be a base church that resources and plants churches around the world. And for that, I have the privilege of sitting with the VVIPs this morning. Amen. Jeff and Jane Kirsten, why don't you come up? So we're gonna cross for traffic report quickly. man, it is so good to have you here. Who here, by a show of hands, have never met this couple before? Can you ready? Look at that. Yo! Hello, everyone. Well, that's Jeff and that's Jane. Why don't you just quickly introduce yourself? Jeff, introduce Jane the way you've always wanted to introduce her.
That's so cool. Well,
should be on.
There we go. One, two. I love that I haven't met so many of you. This is why this is the reason we were part of this. And this is, on my journey with Jesus, the most gracious. I know he gave me salvation and the cross and all that stuff, but then he gave me Jane. I don't know if it's an upgrade or part of it, or like it's part of the package, but it's upgrade on me, yes, but I can't give an upgrade on the cross. But I want to tell you, I'll say something today, but you can listen to this lady, because she is the most gracious gift that has ever been given to me, but also, I believe, one of the gracious gifts of God to this church. She was an import, so I married her into the church. But I don't think any of you, even those who know her, will never know the powerful woman that she is because of what she can carry. And I just want to say to you, like, I want to ask you, not because she's my wife, but because I think she carries the DNA of 3CR, could you open up your hearts to what God's done in her and wants to do through her?
Beautiful. She's brownie hot. Points for days. Can we just dim the lights a little bit? Janie, do the same, and then also tell us about your children.
Okay, am I on? There we go. Yeah, so we have three beautiful children, Taylor, Travis, and Kylie. Taylor and Trav are sitting in the front. Just raise your hands, guys. I won't get you to stand. Okay, here we go. And then Kylie was adamant that she's going down to Super City today, which is, yeah, maybe she'll come back. We don't know. but yeah, the kids are, they're amazing. They are literally the champions of the story. They have gone through the most insane challenges and difficulties, and they have overcome so many things, and they have come out flying. I mean, we are incredibly, incredibly proud of them, and it's, you know, whenever you do an international move, or any move for that matter, there's challenges, but you always, as a mother and as parents, you worry about your children. What are they going to, you know, what's going to happen to them? How are they going to respond? And It wasn't easy at all. I think the biggest challenge has been our children and just what they faced and what they've gone through. But they have come out flying, and they are incredible.
So take us to the beginning. How did you guys know that you were called to plant a church or wanted to plant a church?
The moment of like knowing we're going to plant in Lisbon, it's probably like the end of the journey. Like now it's done. Like that was the end of the journey. I think it was probably we both grew up in spaces and homes where the gospel got hold of us. I think sometimes in our intellectual world, and especially because we're all exposed to so much media and availability to the gospel in some ways, we can take hold of the gospel. But for us, the gospel got hold of us. Yeah. It got hold of us at a young age. And then we came into 3CR and we didn't realize that that was just the taste. And then the gospel got hold of us. The kingdom of God, when Jesus was introduced, like the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom was at hand. Once we built, it was like there was something about the DNA of this church that got hold of us. And part of that was that we existed for others. I remember clearly on that corner of the property where there's an exit, myself, Grant Askham, who leads the bridge, George, who leads highway, the three of us stood at the bottom there with Nick Davis, who was leading the church. And Nick looked up at this property. It was just long grass, a pigsty where the toddler's area is, a little pump house and a farmhouse that was full of termite hills inside the house.
And it was pink.
And some strange humans living inside of it. And I don't know how. And we stood there, and Nick looked over the land, and he said, let's build an army to change the world. let's what did he say? He said, let's build an army that'll take the gospel to the nations. And I think that day, God got hold of me even more. I remember it clearly. We were looking up at the grass. He said, let's build an army that'll take over, that'll take the gospel to the nations. And so I think there was something that stirred inside of me. I think we got married. People were speaking that into our lives, that we would plant a church. There was an excitement and a fear. But essentially, I think what got us to the point was we learned that you don't plant a church because it needs to happen. You plant a church because God has prepared two humans, and we realized there was a lot of preparation. And so how did we know we were called to plant a church? How did it happen? Well, I got welcomed in, like a lot of you, 23 years ago into this church. The church was smaller than this group of people on the stage at that stage. And at that moment, God just infused his mission into my heart. And he got hold of us, and he shook us, and that's how we planted a church. So by the time I walked into Rory's office, and it all just happened. We had said yes to loving our friends in this church. We had said yes to an older couple that I didn't really know, that someone said, well, don't you want to go visit them once a week? I said yes to leading many life groups. I said yes to leading the youth when there was no leader. We said yes to starting a student ministry. We said yes to, and then we were petrified and said yes to coming on to eldership. And we just said yes to a whole bunch of stuff. And so when God spoke, he had prepared us. He taught us how to say yes, and I think he built something into us.
Yeah, it was just the next natural step.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So who raised it first?
it happened at the beginning of 2019, where the first mention of Lisbon came about, and that was Dan and Starla, and Starla is Ashley Bell's daughter, who planted 3CR. And we were having lunch with them after having been here for a meeting. And out of the blue, I mean, it was the most random thing anyone could ever say. I mean, we're talking about, I don't know, children and something else and whatever, chia butter bread, what we were eating. I don't know. It was like, it was so left wing. Where she said, she just looked at us suddenly. She stopped and she's like, have you ever thought of planting a church in Lisbon?
Yeah.
And we were just like, where's Lisbon, that? Where is that?
Spain.
And she actually didn't know that, so I'm half Portuguese, but my family comes from the island of Madeira, and so I'd never been to mainland Portugal before. I'd never been to Lisbon, but I'd been to Madeira very often to see my family, and Star didn't know that, and that actually is more the reason I was like, hell no, I'm not going anywhere near there. Not because I didn't, you know, it was just, it was so different. The culture is so different. I wasn't raised Portuguese. I don't speak the language. It was just, but I had the passport, and so did our kids. And so we left that thought completely. Like we left that conversation. We were like, there's no way, absolutely not. We're not even going to consider it. We laughed about it. We just bought our home. Like we were here. We were on team. We were going into a building project almost. And then it just didn't stop. 2 months later, there's too many things to tell right now of how God spoke to us and how he moved our hearts. And at the same time, it wasn't just us that he was speaking to. And I think that was what was so beautiful, is it was a collective of people. It's where that scripture says it was good between us and the Holy Spirit. And it was Raw and Mal felt something. I mean, there were so many others that came with us that had their own stories that of remarkable, remarkable things of how God opened up Portugal for them to come. So
the first whisper in 2019, you're in Portugal in 2020. Yeah. Wonder where you're going to be next year. This is why we've stopped everything for this, because we are trusting that God awakens something of this call of 3CR in our midst.
Beautiful. Hey?
Bloemfontein is calling. Okay, so you started just as lockdown started, hey?
Yeah.
What is the first year like, locked up in a foreign country?
Well, firstly, I mean, South Africans, come on. We are brave people. We have been through a lot. And so when we heard the rumblings of COVID, we're like, nah. It's nothing, Europe. We've seen it all. So we were very like...
Yeah, we were brave.
It's not going to hit.
We were brave for a short while. Very confident for a short while, and then it hits. But it is amazing, because to be honest, I don't know how we did it. That guy you mentioned, Chris Venan, said he knew of at least 40 or 50 church plants at the same period as us, and not one of them decided to carry through. They all just went back to where they came from.
Wow.
So that's scarier to look. And that's probably just pride inside of me, need to prove something, I don't know. But it's that South African thing inside of us. And I got to say, I think COVID's a good example, because everywhere we go in the world, you find South Africans leading churches. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I don't want us to be the last generation of South Africans that learn to say yes when the rest of the world says no.
Yeah.
And there was something to that. COVID came, and it was like COVID was in our face. And it was almost like a taunting. Was that the last generation of South Africans to be bold, to be brave, to be full of faith, to be people that believe the Father? And I was like, no.
Eventually
it was like, maybe. Yes, we're the weak generation. No, but...
Did you ever think of packing it in over the last few years even?
Was it hard? Was it the worst season of our life? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did we almost die? Absolutely. But here's the thing. We didn't feel like Jeff and Jane were trying to do anything in Portugal.
Yeah.
We didn't go there thinking like, yes, we're going to do something for the kingdom. I meet lots of young people who want to do something amazing for the kingdom, and then I yawn and wait for them to get over it. And then... until they actually realized they're part of something greater. And I think we realized that we were part of God's church plant in Lisbon, that he had a heart for those people, that Isaiah 42, 43, that section of scripture was very, very much part of this church plant. And he says there, you worship me, and I will bring my sons and daughters from the north, the east, the south, and the west.
Yeah.
And so I stood in a meeting on a day with hundreds of people, and I just said, there was a day in history where I walked the streets of Lisbon and God said, I want you to plant a church here. I said, but that same day he was busy working in your lives and orchestrating that you would be here. So I don't know which of those calls, which of those moments, which of those whispers was more important. I actually think yours was, because I could be like speaking to an empty room, but actually God's busy building an army of people that could go to the nations, what's his name? Nick Davis said. And so I think being in the middle of COVID, we realized, we're not trying to accomplish anything. God's busy doing something. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's got a role for us to play for a season in the life of this church in Lisbon. And it's like, it is almost like an invitation. It wasn't a taunt. It was just like, will it be you or will it be someone else? And I think like when you realize, when we realize we could be some part of something so huge and global in what he's doing, this is part of the history of the church. It's like we could do no other.
Yeah.
And so I think it's that it ties into, like, this wasn't a decision from Jeff and Jane. This is a life. This is a, we learned it here. We watched people and then we realized, like, we can do no other. He got hold of us. The gospel got hold of us. So we were just, like, on this journey with Jesus and a bunch of crazy people.
So tell us about Freedom City. How is she doing? We hear such good reports. We have people coming back with bunches and bunches of grapes. Tell us some stories.
Okay. Yeah.
We can get tissue.
No, it's honestly, what God is doing is absolutely mind-blowing. And it's not in isolation. That's the first thing. Like, it's happening all over the world in very, very different ways. And sometimes you kind of reject it because you think it's not in the packaging that you used to or the way that we've been taught or the way we see things in Scripture. And so we have met the most incredible people, the most remarkable people, but also the most lost and the most broken and the most far from God people I've ever met in my life. I mean, we're talking witchcraft, tarot cards, spells, crystals, psychedelic drugs, orgies, you name it. We've seen it all. We've heard it all. It's just, we haven't watched those orgies. But, well, not, I mean, we saw one happening above, yeah, in an apartment building and just close the windows. But, no, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's so different that it's hard to describe. But the people are beautiful. The people are incredible. And yet they don't know God. The majority do not know God at all. You do not meet a Christian on the street. You do not hear a prayer prayed in a restaurant. It isn't like here, where there are so many churches all over the place that are full on Sundays. There are churches all over the place, but they're empty and they're ancient. And but yet, something is happening, and there is rumbles all over the place, the Catholic Church included. It's like unbelievable what we're seeing. So we've there's so many stories. I don't even know if we
wanted to.
Okay, so I have a dear friend. Well, she's a dear friend now, and we met her through Jeff. One of the So Portugal kind of did lockdowns differently. Things were never fully closed for long periods of time. So they would close for a certain period of time, then they would open up, and then we just had a whole bunch of regulations we had to adhere to, and then we would lock down again for when it got tough again. And so there was always this period of like open, close. And so in one of the open moments, coffee shops were open, and Jeff would go and just sit in a coffee shop and work. And one day, a guy from the UK was sitting across him, and he just happened to say to Jeff, "Hey, I like your kicks," which Rory had given to Jeff, his shoes. And Jeff's like, "Oh, cool, you know." And then they kind of got chatting and whatever. And then he asked you what you did.
I was tired of making up stories.
And Jeff was very tired of telling stories about like kind of the long way around so that we didn't get sworn at or, told that we were there to steal people's money and hurt their children and all those crazy things. So he started a conversation. He just blurted out like, maybe you should tell that part of the story.
I was trying to explain stuff and I was like, we're planning a Christian church. But it's like we're having a conversation across the coffee shop. So there's people in between us. And then he swore at me across the people. And then I carried on, he carried on, and then eventually he came and sat next to me. He's like, "Tell me more." And we started chatting, and he's like, I want nothing to do with Christianity and stuff. I just find it interesting that you can be that dumb, so I want to find out why. So anyway, everyone's listening to our conversation. Long story short, we became really, really good friends. He was big in the music industry, and I eventually invited him over for dinner and said, "Bring your girlfriend with."
So we meet her, and she is honestly, immediately we connect, but not on like any other level than just kind of, we just connected on friendship level. And anyway, it's a long story, but basically by the end of the evening, she was crying, and Jeff had been explaining how, like, just marriage, because marriage is such a foreign thing to a lot of people, and especially the kind of way we do it. And and they'd been asking us, because they were dating, and yeah, they just got asking them questions around how does he see me and all that. And the next minute, she's just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Anyway, long story short, basically...
He moves across the table from her, distances himself.
He couldn't handle the pressure, and she went back and then just said to him, listen, what is this relationship? Like, what is this? Like, we're living together. Like, I can't do this if it doesn't mean it's going to end in that. Anyway, they broke up, and she gave her life to Jesus about 6 months later on Christmas Day. And she has been radically, radically transformed. I mean, absolutely. She's one of our worship leaders now. She's leading our dinner, one of our dinner parties. She's become such a dear friend, and she doesn't look the part of a Christian girl. And so she has experienced incredible rejection, and even within Christian circles and people that she's now met, and she often refers to herself as the woman at the wall, and how God redeemed her, and he has redeemed her, and we will fight for her. We love her. We will, no matter what she looks like, no matter what she says, like, we love her so much. And she has been so transformed over the 3 years that we've known her, to the point now where, I mean, she's leading others to God. She is just, it's absolutely amazing what's happened with her life.
I hear rumors that your worship leader got saved at Freedom City. Is that right?
Yeah. So Matej got sent the song Waymaker by someone else in our community, and he was running down the promenade listening to it because he loves music down by the river. And the next minute, he just felt this overwhelming presence of God. And he ran literally straight to Jeff, who was at the venue where we meet. And he just ran in, and he just slammed the table down like this. Says, I believe. And he was a complete atheist, hated the church, hated Christians, hated any form of institution. And he was radically transformed. Loves music, loves people, loves food, everything that we're on about. And he just... him, his whole family, they've got a little boy now, and it's just incredible to see.
I had one story to that. Just I could tell you so many stories, and I could tell you about a Danish man that was on a 25-year journey looking for God. He sold his business, distinguished Danish man, on a journey around the world, living with shaman, living in caves, living in temples, living every part of the world looking for God. His last stop before his children had kids was Lisbon. His last stop, he sat on a couch like this, and he just said, I still haven't found God. And he heard an audible voice say, how long, I won't mention his name, but the stories are sacred. It's like, how long will you keep running from me? Audible, who are you? He said, my name is Jesus.
Sure.
So he Googled Jesus. Came up with obviously all sorts of weird things on the internet. And so he thought, I don't know how to. So he said, Jesus in Lisbon. And we had just finished doing a YouTube series called Jesus in Lisbon.
Yeah.
And he watched every single episode. Wow. So one day I got to church, and this very distinguished man walks up to me and he says, good day, Jeff. This is my name. I'm part of your church. I know everything about... I said, do I know you? He said, no, but I know everything about you, all your stories.
TV evangelist.
I was freaked out. And he went downstairs, and we were starting a series in the book of Jonah. And I said, before we start this series, I want to ask you one question. So I didn't know any of this yet. I said, how long will you keep running from God? He just... I just hear... This distinguished man just broke. And it's like, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories, most of them with people that have never been into the church. I can tell you about the cafe and how people have come in and none of them are Christians. And sitting on the couch, a girl asking this girl, saying, I know you won't know this, but do you know anyone who might know where to find Jesus? An Australian girl asks this, and she says, I found him. I can show you. Anyway, and then she says, I bought this book that they call the Bible. She's like, really? You got one? She pulls it out of her bag. It's this big purple thing. She's like, where did you get that? She says, I had to order it in Germany because you can't get Bibles in Portugal, in English. And so she says, that's my Bible. And she pulls it out. The exact same Bible, same color from the same supplier in Germany. They had ordered it in the same week. They didn't even know each other. It's like, I can tell you story after story after story after story about, it's like just seeing these baptisms. Mm. We've had that many people in the last 2 months fly from other countries, buy international tickets to fly to Lisbon to be baptized in this church because they met Jesus on holiday in Lisbon, or they met him in their period that they were living in Lisbon, because it's super transient. Like, half our church won't be living in our city probably in the next 4 months to 6 months. Mm. So it's like, it's a very different dynamic. It's hard because of that. But the reality is people are meeting Jesus for the first time. Mm. And because they're meeting him, they then go back. And we had a girl fly from Barcelona. She was moving to India. She said, I have to be baptized before. It's a crazy story I won't get into of how she knew she had to get baptized. And she flew. She had 1 day left. She flew from Barcelona to Lisbon. Duncan baptized her, a whole bunch of our guys. A girl flew last 2 weeks ago. She flew from Norway to be baptized because I met her in the coffee shop. And it's like, we had people fly from Germany, a couple who also went on this New Age journey and were in Bali, and they found a Bible and they started reading it. They read the whole thing on holiday. They came to Lisbon on the way back to Germany. Their first time they ever walked into a church on Easter last year. Easter last year. That meeting that you watched there was the meeting that they were at. And they just wept and wept and wept. And I walked to them afterwards. I said, what's going on? And they said, we read about it, but now we've seen it. Sure. They've never seen anything like this. Maybe. So I can tell you about people that are flying international tickets, and then they flew back from Germany to be baptized. It's just people are flying in to be baptized. I'm like, and there's a pool right there. And no one in Pretoria has to go anywhere to find Jesus because of 3CI. Sure. And I was like, this is radical. You don't realize what we've got because the whole of Europe doesn't have this.
Yeah. And so if you were to look at your church, guesstimate how many of them were saved into the church versus how many of them came already as born-again believers. But where would you land that slider?
It's so hard because of the transient nature, but I'd say more than half.
More than half getting saved into the church.
Yeah. Some of them are still being saved.
Ashley Bell, who planted this church, had a phrase I'll never forget. He said, people are waiting on the other side of your obedience. And on behalf of 3CI and the elders and all your friends, I want to say thank you. Thank you for being obedient. Because people are waiting on the other side of your obedience, as people are waiting on the other side of ours. In closing, how can we get behind you guys as a couple? How can we get behind your family? And how can we get behind the church? Is there something you're going like, yo, if you can send us 100 people a month to do that, tell us.
So, I mean, we always need prayer. So please remember us in your prayers. But actually, a story comes to mind. A few years ago, Jeff and a couple of the elders got to go into the Sunnyside to see the underworld. And they spoke to a police officer there who wasn't a Christian. And, I mean, everything inside of the guys' hearts were like, how can we help? How can we get behind what you're doing? How can we make trafficking go away, or the drug scene go away, or whatever? And all she said, if you can just carry on loving Jesus, loving people, and keeping people from becoming the problem that are causing the problems, the human problem, the human decay. If you can teach people the truth, the ways of God. This is an unbeliever speaking, she said, because that changes the demand. It changes everything. And I think what I would love to say is that actually what we need is people to continue to be radical for Jesus, because it doesn't matter where you are, God is busy. And I know that's not a direct thing to us. I'm talking very broadly here, but I think it does have a ripple effect, because every one of you knows someone in Europe. Every one of you knows someone here even, that God is working in their lives. And I think if we can just remain in a place of freedom, if we can remain in a place where we know that we are accepted and we are redeemed and that we can be secure in who we are and authentic and real in who we are and then just love people, it will have an exponential ripple effect. And I think that's our greatest cry, is actually that people will really love one another in our church. And because it's one thing to say it, like, I love you, but when you're confronted with someone who doesn't look like you want them to look and you think you need to fix them, or they speak in a certain way and it's not fitting your paradigm, or there's a conflict or there's an offense and you need to forgive. And it's very easy to say, I love people, but when it comes to the nitty gritty, it's not easy. And so that's what we're trusting for, is that people get a radical, radical revelation of the love of God.
Jeff. If you had to leave us with a charge, what would that be? Yeah. I'm thinking of the 400 people who just joined today, 2,500 that are part of the furniture.
You say something to the 400.
Yeah, I think.
I see a hospital pass here to Jane. That's what's happening.
You got it. I'm ready. I think, again, it's that thing of becoming secure, becoming a son and daughter of God, firstly, and then the house, this home, this place. When you become family, there should be a freedom to make mistakes. There should be a freedom to be yourself. There should be, but then there's also that time where the children grow up and they start to take responsibility and they start to move into the things of God and to partner with Him in what He's doing. And I think as people coming into this church, don't let it just be a dutiful Sunday attendance. Let it be something that, and the church is way more than just these walls and this building. The church is everywhere. It's everywhere you are, the church is. And so carry the gospel, carry the message of the kingdom with you, and really let God change you. Let God just move through everything in your life and redeem you.
Yeah, I'd say this place is amazing. Look at this building. It's like, this place is amazing. This church is incredible. Like, I trust the leaders of this church with my life, with my children's lives. I trust Freedom City with this church. We don't feel like Jeff and Jane went and planted a church. 3CR planted a church. Mm. We just see it as an extension of this there. We feel like it's one church in some ways. And I say that because, as amazing as this is, if you're a consumer in this place, you're going to get bored quickly. Even in such an amazing place, you're going to get bored. You're going to get up to nonsense because you're going to get bored. But if you're a contributor, it is so much more exciting to be part of the contribution of God's forward momentum in something as exciting as this. And then you start to be part of it. You get pulled into it. Mm. And like that thing that I started with, where the gospel takes hold of you, that's uncontrollable. Then you find yourself in places with people that you never dreamt possible. You find yourself doing things that you, like in scripture said, you go before kings and you find yourself saying things that you never thought possible, doing things you never dreamt of. They're beyond your dreams. And so I want to say to you, like, don't be a consumer in this place. Mm. Be a contributor in any little way, like I said, of our own lives towards the step of obedience of saying yes to God. Like, any little place, inconvenient, silly, just do it. Just say yes. I want to also just say to those of you that have been here for a long time, the whole journey of God with His people, we don't have to look far through the book of Exodus. The whole journey of God with His people is that He takes them and He says, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to run away from Egypt, and then I'm going to, like, the Red Sea is going to open like this, and this is what's going to happen. And then they think, okay, cool, we know how God works. And so Nick Davis leads this church. One or two other people lead the church. We see the goodness of God. I walked into that and I'm like, okay, I know how God works. The problem is, the next time God works, He doesn't do the same thing. And things start to change. And so we have to walk with God. We don't have to walk. We can't create a picture of what God's doing and then serve that picture. He's not serving that picture. The Holy Spirit is moving forward and He's taking a people on a journey. And so if you've been here for a while, you think you know how God's working in this church. You think you know the DNA of this church, how God, no, He's never going to work the same again. And so when God decides to take another step, now it's going to be the Jordan, then it's going to be this, then we're going to go over a mountain. And you're like, why a mountain? What's up with these leaders? Why are they taking us over a mountain? Last time we just walked through a Red Sea. It's like, Could you walk with Jesus? Yeah. Could you open your eyes? The criticism of the people was that you have eyes, but you do not see. You have ears, but you do not hear. The people of God always felt trapped to say, we want a king, not a priest. And it's like, no, God's given you priests. People that would hear the voice of God, lead you in a direction. And I want to say to you that have been here for a while, could you also hear the whispers of God? Could you realize that when God moves differently to how he has in the past, this is the most exciting season that this church has ever walked into. And it's like you're about to enter into something. You're one more step closer to the promised land. Kevin and Caroline are serving today. I saw that lanyard over their necks. I saw them carrying stuff. And I just thought, well done for saying yes again and again and again. And Tim Keller says this, you have to cross the betrayal barrier of moving from the past successes into the future victories that God has for you, these battles that he has for you. And if Nick Davis was right on that corner saying, let's train up an army of people that'll take the good news of the gospel to the nations, you're going to cross many betrayal barriers. And so I have to say yes to God often, and you have to sit next to someone, you're going to have to inconvenience yourself. The real heroes, Jane said it, I can tell you all the stories, but those two kids over there, Kylie's amazing, but she'll do anything fun. Those guys, they didn't choose it, but they're choosing it. And they're saying yes. And we did everything wrong that parents shouldn't do by doing this. And they have had no sleep for 4.5 years. And they have been inconvenienced. But they are strong. They can carry anything. And I'm telling you, when I look around, even in our church, the children look weak compared to them. And I want to say to you parents, do not forfeit your kids' inheritance because of the inconvenience it causes for you. You know how inconvenient it is for us to like, we have crying kids because they're tired. You know how inconvenient it's been to make our kids do things and feel like a bad parent because parenting styles have changed and we still want to stick to biblical truths and to follow Jesus when he says, follow me, and to keep doing that. But I'll keep doing it because it's made them stronger. And like parents, I want to say, like, don't steal their inheritance because it's easier for you to stick to rhythms and do this and make sure we never inconvenienced and stretched. Because they're the ones that will suffer. And look around the church world today. Young people want to be part of something great, but they don't want to carry the responsibility. And I'm like, let us not be the cause of another generation that will not carry responsibility because we protected them too much. Sorry, that was like, am I allowed
to say stuff
like
that? That's very good, very good. I know you've asked for prayer, but in closing, can we ask for prayer? You know, you see in Scripture the laying on of hands where there's an impartation of a gift. Can I ask you, would you pray for us? Would you stretch out your hands? Something of this fire that you've found that's been forged in the nations would come upon us, upon this church, upon her call, upon her role and responsibility in the city and in the nations. And then we're going to close.
Lord, we want to say, like David, we want to say with fear and trembling, yeah, we are, Lord, send us. Send us into 3CI. Send us amongst the people. Send us into the rattling hearts. Send us into the lonely. Send us to the children of this church. Lord, send us in prayer. Send us into the city of Pretoria. Send us into this nation that desperately needs hope. And then, Lord, send us into the nations that are barren and bare. Lord, 45 church plants in Lisbon in the last 4 years and 44 are closed. Lord, because cities are waiting, desperately waiting for the hope of Jesus to come. They're not waiting for institutions. They're waiting for love, for people to be loved. And I pray in this church, as I know the leaders of this church have pointed everyone in this building towards the Father in heaven that loves dearly, I pray that love would permeate in our hearts. I pray, Father, that not only would we get a grasp of who you are, not only would we start to understand how you work, but I pray the gospel would take hold of us, Lord. The kingdom of God that is forcefully advancing would take hold of our hearts, Lord, that we could do no other. That we would find ourselves taking steps of faith in our jobs, taking steps of faith in our family, taking steps of faith in our relationships, Lord, because we can do no other. I pray that you would take hold of us. A ruggedness would beset this church, Lord. An abandonment of our own possessions, an abandonment of our own ideas and plans would take hold of us, Lord, where there's something greater that takes hold of us, something that demands more but gives us the delight of our souls. I pray that you would come over this church, that you would love these people in a way that changes their decision-making. I pray that this church would always be a place, like it is right now, that sows into the nations, that the nations of this world will be blessed before you come back with love, with generosity, with faith, with people of peace. And I pray, God, that you would raise up men and women in this place with fire in their eyes and a burning belly saying, I can do no other. In Jesus' name.
I'm not sure if Andries and Zeli Els are here. Are you here this morning? They come morning and sometimes evening. Are they here? Andries and Zeli. Where are you? Zeli, what are you? Andries, I can you see, I can't Zeli see. Where was Zeli? Says da. Kom eens gou gou Zeli. I just want you to look at, you can come sit here, Zeli, but next to Mel. Just put your hand, the camera on Jeff's right arm and Jane's left arm. Just put that there. Come sit here, Zeli. You know what those marks are? Eh? You know them. You think we would just sit here and think it's like a really radical couple counting for God, and they're like, they dress trendy and they're all tattooed up and it's really cool. But Zelly's going to tell you what those tattoos mean.
Oh, let me just stand here with you. Okay, so 7 years ago, this beautiful couple had the privilege of receiving a baby with Down syndrome, not knowing what it meant, scared of what the future holds. And God chose them to be the parents, and He chose those two kids to be the siblings of an incredible, incredible gift. And this tattoo, it's three arrows showing up, and it means the lucky few. It's a symbol of the lucky few, and it resembles parents worldwide who are lucky to have a child in their homes with Down syndrome. So, and it's just incredible how the world looks at kids and people with Down syndrome, and God wants to change that. And He considers us lucky to have a child with special needs. And I just want to honor you, the way that you carry this mark. And if people ask you about it, then you have the privilege to share. Yes, and may your daughter, I know the day that she was born, we celebrated her birth. Where when my son was born with Down syndrome, we received sympathy cards the day of his birth. flowers and cards which said, we sympathize with the birth of your son. And when I hear a baby with Down syndrome born into a family, I say, yes, yes, how lucky you are. So yeah, this is just incredible. We love you.
So what's stopping you going? Because their whole support system is in South Africa. And Jane comes from a family where her sister had Down syndrome and her parents never stopped at serving Jesus. And so she knew when she had a Down syndrome child, it could completely affect the whole way they do life. I just looked at those tattoos and I thought, those are marks of unbelievable faith. You are heroes of this church, Jeff and Jane. And they go, well, why did you come today? Because we honor people. We glorify God, but we honor people. I love you. Like, really, really love you. I pray for you every day, and I'm so proud of you. And it's incredible just to stop everything sometimes and just say, hey, this is what it's about. It's about our family and our friends. I want to put a picture up on the, it's called Lisbon is On. This is in Harry Smith. My business is in Harry Smith. And for those who don't know, when Jeff and Jane came and spoke to me, the following day I went to Harry Smith on business. And I was driving through town and you can see the L of the window at the bottom is broken and the B is broken. And it just says, Lisbon is on. You say, how did God speak to me like that? In a Portuguese fruit and veggie shop in Harry Smith. I don't know, just keep it up there. I don't know what the top part of it, of your story is, but I want to tell you the bottom part. It's on. It's on. Your healing is on. Your redemption is on. Your baptism is on. Can you imagine how God used stones or something to break the L and the B? To just speak to a dumb pastor from Pretoria in Harry Smith about the beautiful DNA that he's given to you. I want to say we're so proud of you. But today is like you're standing on the stage with a yes in your heart to every person here. And you might say to yourself, God, how can I ever get healed? Healing is on. Healing is on. Restoration is on. Those little tattoos, God knows your children better than you do. He knows them better than you do. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jeff and Jane, for Tate, for Kylie, for Trav, Lord God. Thank you for this family. Thank you for every person in this church that has made it possible for us to plant churches. Thank you for your generosity to us over many, many years. Thank you for three stripes on an arm. And thank you for a Portuguese passport. What passport have you got? Why are you here this morning? I just want to say these two words over your life. It's on. It's on. It's on. It's on.